Good morning. Scripture today is Acts 11, 1 through 8. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, was it I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. O God of promise, your word made flesh in Jesus Christ is trustworthy and true. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may it rise up in us this day like a gift from the spring of the water of life to refresh our thirsty souls. Amen. I think the reason that their attendance is a little low today is because they saw the title of my sermon and they knew that I was going to talk about controversial things. We don't really like controversy. Well, I think there are some people who actually do like it, but I think for the most part we don't. We really like to run. We run from unfamiliar things, and we build these physical or metaphorical walls to maintain the status quo. We don't like to hear that there may be some things that we've gotten wrong. And there's a lot of controversy in today's scripture about who does and does not belong. I wish I could tell you that at the end of the day, all of the lessons were learned and everyone lived happily ever after. But you're too smart for that. You live in the world of today just like I do, and I think you know that there are still all sorts of divisions amongst God's people. So let's take this back just a little bit. So Luke is the author of Acts. And throughout his writings, including the Gospel of Luke, he's been trying to prepare the Israelites for the inclusion of Gentiles into God's salvation. So right before this passage, Peter was hanging out with a Roman centurion, Cornelius, as well as his friends and family. And in the first century, a Roman centurion is hardly someone that the disciples wanted to spend a lot of time with. But while Peter is there, the Holy Spirit descends upon all of those people that are gathered there, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Okay, what's this big deal about circumcision? It's times like these when I have to talk about circumcision that I'm glad that we don't have a whole lot of children here. But basically, circumcision is this visible sign of the covenant that God made between himself, God's self, and the Israelite people. It was this clear boundary between who was in and who was out. And knowing who was in and who was out was particularly important when it came to purity and kosher laws. And just to be clear, that the Gentiles were not circumcised. Inviting a Gentile to eat with you, it's a little blurry, but it's not completely banned. You could control the menu and the seating arrangements and, you know, all of those other things. But Gentiles, man, they were real wacky. They ate and did all sorts of crazy things. A Gentile host would likely offer you all sorts of unkosher, unclean things that could jeopardize your relationship with God and the community as a whole. So eating with Gentiles wasn't just about cleanliness or purity, but it was also about physical safety. Persecuted people need to be aware of whose company they share. For Israelites in the Roman Empire, all of these practices helped maintain their identity while facing constant pressure to assimilate to the majority culture. Not only was there like a whiff of idolatry for eating with what a Roman centurion offered, there was a distinct possibility of being arrested or worse. So the disciples heard that Peter ate with those people. Peter, what were you thinking? Ugh. This was really hard news for the people to swallow. The controversy wasn't that Peter preached to them or even that Peter baptized these Gentiles. And baptism did bring them in to some level of belonging, but if they wanted to be true members of this religion and to follow Jesus, they had to go all the way and engage in the same practices and traditions as the Israelites. So Peter here, he's got to defend himself real quick before he's thrown out of the community. So he recounts everything that's happened, step by step. And this recounting isn't only to justify his actions. It's also to clearly show that God is doing something. Like, this is what God was doing. Like, no, listen. This is what happened. Listen, let me explain. Peter tells them of this nightmarish vision. All of those things that Leviticus 11 says are unclean are lowered before him, and God's voice says, "Peter, kill and eat." Surely this must be some sort of test, right? But no, this happens three times. And then the guys that these guys come and they invite him to Cornelius's house. Okay. I guess I'll go. Once there, Cornelius tells Peter about the vision that he had to send for Peter, and that Peter would tell him how his whole household could be saved. As Peter is telling him about Jesus and the resurrection, the Holy Spirit rests upon this Gentile household. The same way that it did for the Jewish disciples. And Peter thinks, well, if God gave them the same gift that we got, how can I possibly turn them away? How can I not be with them? Who am I to stand in God's way? The passage ends with no further objections from the apostles and a recognition of God reaching out to the Gentiles. There is this distinct moment that is transformative for both the circumcised and uncircumcised. The Gentiles are transformed, but also the circumcised have a change of heart. Both are inspired by the Lord, and that will now infuse the early believers with a radically new sense of the kind of community that's possible in God's new realm. But this transformation is far from complete. The controversy is far from over. In and beyond the book of Acts, the church continues to struggle with the Spirit's calling to reframe our sense of who belongs, and how Israelite and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, are to serve and share the table together. God outdoes all of our traditions, and the Spirit calls us to join others in ways that lead us all more fully into God's life-giving realm. The church is still led by the Holy Spirit. I tell you that Jesus is here. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. God is here. We've received new insights regarding who does and doesn't belong over the centuries. Issues like slavery, circumcision, woman's ordination, racial equality, disability inclusion, LGBTQ dignity. We still haven't accepted all of the ways that the Spirit is leading us to become more inclusive. This text is about expanding our limits. It probably felt a lot safer to the early church to keep Cornelius and his Gentile household at arm's length. But the Holy Spirit is always pushing us towards the practices of greater inclusion and love. Unfortunately, that's still a pretty controversial thing these days. We all like to think that we would never, ever perceive or treat people different than us with any sort of prejudice. But we do live in a society, and we are entrenched in traditions that have long, long histories of doing exactly that. If we want to fully participate in what God is doing in the world today, we need to recognize and admit our prejudices and their impact on human relationships. We need to engage with others different from ourselves in more than just the superficial ways. When someone tells you that, well, you can't possibly be a Christian if you voted for a Republican, or you can't possibly be a Christian, what kind of Christian votes for a Democrat? That's meaningless to God. The awesome news is that the Spirit will work despite the barriers that we build due to fear. Personally, I think that's comforting. It's comforting to know that even as I continue to fumble when it comes to fully loving and accepting people who look and think differently than me, even as I perpetually do and say cringeworthy things, God is still at work in the world. As we work toward a fuller understanding of God and the world, we're going to continue hearing from surprising and controversial sources about the new things that God is doing. Because God is always doing something new. And new things are always controversial. Peter plainly tells us the story of God's controversial acceptance towards the Gentiles. What other stories of controversial acceptance do we need to be willing to hear? Thanks be to God. Amen.